Warrior Mindset Podcast. We are your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
Kelvin, what's up, man?
How you doing, Gene?
Good. Thanks for coming in and talking to me today.
Of course, brother.
Welcome to the program.
Yes.
I don't have anything fancy to say. But first off, I'm super pumped to meet you. Greg talked you up to me pretty well. I'm going to call it a business.
Yeah.
Notoriously Dapper.
Yes, sir.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Your Instagram, that's where I was introduced. That's what was sent to me first was the Instagram.
Yes,
123,000 followers.
Yeah.
That's impressive, bro.
Yeah. I just reached that yesterday, and I, like, made a post because I was like, I love, like, the numerical cadence of things, like 1, 2, 3, like 3, 4, 5,
well,
you know what I
mean? Hopefully it doesn't stay there. I know,
right? I was like, it's like, it would go like to 1, 2, 4, but then I was like, I'm looking forward to 2, 3, 4 next.
Okay. You know? Yeah, that's
yeah,
a big one.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Let's set it up.
Okay. So I am what you call an influencer / model public figure.
Right.
I'm lucky enough to be like a hybrid of that. So most people that are just models sometimes are like, that's all they do. Like, they just are models. Like, they're just a face. Like, nobody really knows their name. I'm lucky enough to be an influencer, model, and public figure. So it's like, I am known as, like, Kelvin the model. Like, people, like, when they see my face, they recognize me from, like, you know, Instagram, my other brand things. So that's pretty much, like, that's what I do. I'm also an award-nominated author.
Oh, okay.
Notoriously Dapper, How to Be a Modern Day Gentleman with Manner, Style, and Body Confidence.
Got you. I want to talk about that too.
That's, okay, cool.
That's what I want to dig into, but we got to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I do. And, you know, it's all about just like spreading positive energy and just trying to let people understand that if you have a dream, like, you have to go, for it. You know, there's no other way around it. Like, you know, your dreams will never work if you don't work for them.
I love that.
Yeah.
You got to work.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, damn. Yeah. Well, this podcast is over. I don't want to work.
Yeah.
So let's start. We were talking a little bit before. You taught art.
I did, yeah.
In a public high school.
I did.
Or was it high school?
Yeah.
I just assumed it was high school because we're talking about my, it's all about me today. Talking about my kid who's in high school, but.
Yeah.
So. Art teacher in high school.
Yeah, I did 2 years at Brooklyn Casey and then 6 years at St. Andrews Middle School.
Right.
So, and during my tenure of teaching, I have to pay a lot of the aspect of who I am as a man, especially till this day, being a educator. Because, you know, you meet so many different personalities and so many different genres of people. And not only as like... colleagues, but like your students, right? So like you'll have kids that have never even been to like the South Carolina State Fair. And then you have kids that have like been everywhere. They've been to Disney World, they've been to Hawaii, and it's like trying to get all these kids on the same playing field and trying to get them to love and to respect each other in the same element is, you know, a very difficult thing to actually do, especially when you're an art teacher, when they throw everybody in the classroom, right? It's not like the other classes where there's, like, gifted, there's this, there's that. Right.
You just get everybody.
Exactly. You know? I used to say that I get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, but, I get you.
And I honestly loved
it's public getting, school, man. You can say it.
Yeah. And I loved getting all of the ranges of, like, personalities.
Right.
You know, I had kids that were gang members. Kids, you know, that were, you know, never even heard of a gang. You know what I mean? So it was just like a great way for me to not only help everybody be on the same page and have a understanding and love and respect for one another, but it also helped me, you know, when I was writing my actual book, it helped me, you know, because a lot of the things that I was teaching those young men, I was writing in my book. So I was like, I could just pretty much do everything that I'm doing in the classroom and just put it in this book. That's pretty much what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I find that, like, with this, like, talking to people like you, meeting people, it's sort of the same it's not the same as writing a book. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's this practicing who you are.
For sure.
Right? And it's so valuable to do that. And it sounds like you've found a way to make a living doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, a funny story, when I was, like, doing, so I started, like, my blog and Instagram stuff while I was teaching.
Right.
And I was actually at St. Andrew's Middle School when it, like, got very popular and it was, like, started becoming, like, a thing. And I remember, like, spring break of, like, 2016, I did, like, a big American Eagle ad. And it was all over, like, the television and all over, like, YouTube, everywhere. So when I got back from after spring break, all, like, of my students were like, hey, Mr. Davis, we, like, think we saw you, like, in this, like, thing.
You're a target right now.
Yeah. And I, like, basically, like, froze. I was like, okay, I have to come up with a lie. So I told them I had, like, a twin brother.
Oh, what?
And
that could be fun.
Yeah, right, yeah. And I told them that his name was Kevin, and my name was Kelvin. I was like, yeah, his name was Kevin. Like, he's really, you know, da-da-da. And they believed that for maybe, like, a whole of, like, 3 weeks.
Okay. Whoa, wow.
Yeah. And they were like, that doesn't make any sense, because every time you're gone, like, he's gone, too. And it's like, you know, we follow him on Instagram, and you guys are, like, never together. You know, like, there's never any like, pictures of y'all, you know? And yeah, you said you guys, like, are really close.
You ever met
really
Dwayne weird. The Rock Johnson's brother?
Yeah, right.
Or Dwayne,
yeah.
Dwayne Johnson's brother, The Rock?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know what, you got me. And funny enough, it was the sixth graders that caught me. Oh. It wasn't even the eighth graders. Like, the eighth graders, like, were like, oh, well, we don't really care.
Yeah. We're beyond you.
Yeah, yeah.
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 So what do you do? Like, what's the blog about? What is that job?
So I graduated from USC in 2010. And when I got my first teaching job in 2011, I went to go get some more, like, stylish kind of clothing, because I've always been into, like, dressing nice. I've always been into art. And, you know, I have a very unique fashion style. And I went to go get, like, some stuff, like, you know, like, some bright colored ties, you know, some different kind of pants. And I went to the store that I guess I shouldn't name. Or I can, right?
If you're not getting paid, I'm not getting paid.
Yeah, right. Either, so. And I saw this red blazer, and I was like, man, that's like, and when I mean red, I mean like stop sign red. Like, like burgundy red, like not like that.
Bright,
you know what I mean? Bright red, like very strong. I was like, I need that. So I went inside, and I asked the lady, I was like, do you have like a 46 in that? And she was like, no, but let me check. So she checks, and she's like, no, the largest size that we have is like a 42. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, do you have anything like another store? Like, I can order it offline. Maybe you can ship it here. And she's like, no, like, we don't have that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a bummer. And then was like, well, maybe you should go to, like, a big and tall store. Like, you seem like a little too big to even be in here. And this is Express, by the way, which Express is a very slim fit, you know, kind of like European
children.
Kind of steel. Yeah, exactly. So
that's what I call them.
Yeah.
Anybody under 240.
Yeah,
you're,
right?
You're
yeah.
a child.
Exactly. 100% agree. Kidding. Yeah, kidding. No.
Kind of.
And I was like, you know, and it kind of offended me.
Yeah.
And I think it offended me more because it came from a female. You know, I feel like if it came from a male, I would just be like, you know, like, whatever. Like, screw you, guy. Like, whatever. Like, you're having a bad day. Yeah. But the fact that it came from a female, and she said it very loudly, and like people, like, you know, kind of looked at me,
right?
And it was kind of like one of those moments of like embarrassment, like body shame. So it was like my first time as a guy ever being body shamed, right? Because as guys, like, we like mess around, we like, oh, dude, you're so fat, like, oh, come on, like, you know what I mean? Like, we play around, but it's like to actually have somebody like tell you, like, you know, you're too fat to shop here, it really, like, you know, it kind of hurt my feelings, you know, and like, you know, like,
man, you're not a fat guy,
I'm not. You know, but at that time I did gain a good bit of weight because I had just had my first daughter and I was like, you know, gaining like the after,
what
you
happens?
Know, dad, you know,
yep.
post-pregnancy. I mean, yep. not post-pregnancy, but post, you know,
yep.
my partner's pregnancy. Wait,
was it pounds, in college, it's the freshman 15? Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
there's,
yeah.
There's also a 15 to 20 once you have that first kid.
Exactly, yeah, it's yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just sedentary, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. There's a damn kid in your house.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're stuck, right?
Yep.
And if you do, it's only to go to work, right? Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And so I couldn't shake this feeling of like, damn, I feel really like insecure, like really, yeah. I don't really feel too great about myself, like body wise. So I was like, I always wanted to start like a blog, right? I've always really been into like fashion and the way imagery kind of can convey a message without speaking.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I kind of want to start a blog, like do like a fashion blog thing and do like, you know, and say some things about body positivity and like mental health and really good things of that sort. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what should I name it? I was like, you know, Dapperly Stylish, Notoriously Stylish. And I was like, what about Notoriously Dapper? So I went on GoDaddy and I bought the domain. And then I had one of my friends from USC help me build the site and bought a camera off of eBay for like $200. Taught myself how to like use it.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And the rest is kind of like history. I just like would post. So there was like a period from 2011 to 2017, really, where I posted almost every day on my blog. If not every day, it was at least four times a week. And it was like about like, you know, I would just do like different messages about, you know, giving like positive inspiration for men and really, you know, having a space for men to feel confident to talk about anything as far as body image all the way to mental health.
Yeah.
And, in 2017 was when like the women's body positivity movement became like very like mainstream.
Yeah.
It was like everywhere. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And people just had a natural curiosity, started Googling like male body positivity. And unbeknownst to me, like, the first thing that would come up was me and my blog, because I had, like, a body positive menswear blog. Like, that's what I called it. It was, like, a body positive menswear blog. And
some good keywords, man.
Yeah. And, you know, just based off of SEO, right? Is that what it's called? Like, search engine optimization?
You figured it out early on.
Yeah. I became, like, this entity and, like, this voice for, like, positive male body image.
Yeah.
And this guy from the New York Times, he wrote an article about me, and it was like, meet the guy that's changing the landscape for the men's fashion industry. And I'm teaching, like, these kids, and I get, like, all these messages on my phone, and I'm getting, like, all these, like, hits on my blog and all these emails and stuff. I'm like, what is going on? Like, and my friends were like, dude, some dude, like, wrote an article about you, like, saying you're, like, the guy that's going to, like, change the fashion industry, like, the way, like, it's changed for women. Like, it's going to be more inclusive and this and that. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm just, like,
doing my thing.
Yeah, I'm just living, you know what I mean? Like, right. I'm just doing things that feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's legit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I own a couple of businesses. One of them is a gym. Mm-hmm. And, we have an intake process for new people. And it's always when we get a guy in, say it's like a middle-aged person or whatever, and it's like emotional armor to be like, yeah, I got me a 12-pack or, you know, not a 6-pack, but a 12-pack. And it always makes something like that. And over the years I've learned, you know, like early on I was like, what's wrong with this guy? You know, but now I understand that it's like it's a defense mechanism.
For sure.
And they're just getting it out there before, I guess they're worried that you're going to judge them or whatever, but they're just getting it out there before then.
Yeah. So like you don't say anything about it or like, you know, or anybody else say anything about it. They're like, you know, it's almost like
they'll bring it up a lot.
Yeah.
You're like,
it's okay.
A problem.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's why you're here.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and you know, when all that started to like happen for me, it was like, well, what do I do with this cape, right?
Yeah.
Because it was like society and like the world and like the universe is like gave me this cape. It was like, you are the guy.
Well,
it was almost like I was chosen in like a way, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
It sounds like you worked at it though.
I did. I mean, yeah.
You posting every day for 2 or 3 years in a row. That's grinding, bro.
Yeah. I 100% did. And you know, I suffer a lot from imposter syndrome, a lot. Like, because there'll be moments where I'm like, you know, I'll try like downplay what I do, but like, but it's like, you know, when I think about it, you know, it's like, damn, I really did put in like that work. And I really did tell people, like, I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an edge for Target. I remember when I was a teacher and I would tell other teachers what I'm going to be doing, and they would literally laugh at me.
They'd
literally be like, you're going to. Dude, you're like 5'9", over like 240, and you're bald. You're not going to be a model. Like, good try. You know what I mean?
Did that fuel you? Did that give you fuel to, I mean, did you turn that into positive energy and be like, well, I'll show you.
Yeah, because
for sure.
I always knew what I was capable of.
Right.
Because I know my work ethic and I know that I am able to do things that a lot of people just aren't able to like do, you know? Because rejection to me doesn't hurt as much as like, you know, the feeling of regret of not trying. Do you know what I mean? It's like when somebody says no or like you didn't make it or, you know, we're not going to sign you to this agency, it hurts a lot less than if I didn't try at all. Because then I'll be wondering, I'll have this anxiety, but well, what if I would have did it? Well, what if this would have happened?
That would suck.
Yeah. You know? And, you know,
that's what they had.
Exactly.
Which is why they were shitting on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that.
No, you know. You definitely don't. And, you know, I live by this quote that, like, I forget who said it, but it was like, if you think the price of winning is too high, just wait until you get the bill from regret. And I was like, damn.
Sure.
That really.
Yeah, but that's real.
It is real. Yeah. Because it's like, yeah. I think about it now, if I wouldn't have done what I wanted to do, I would literally be watching somebody else doing all the things that I wanted to do. And that feeling of regret that I could be the one in Target. I could have been the first, you know, non-traditional male model for Nike. I could have done this. I could have done that. It's like I'm watching somebody else live this dream.
Yeah, I would say.
And it's supposed to be me.
You were so close.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote all the damn blog posts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like whenever society gave me this cape or when, like, you know, I like earned this cape. I would say I earned this cape because I worked very hard. Yeah. Yes. And I was like, so what do I do now? Like, do I continue to move forward? Do I continue to, you know, elevate this blog? Mm. Do I go to a different route? You know, so a lot of things were going in inside of my head. And I was like, you know, maybe I just want to be the person that people just look up to.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be what I needed when I was a kid, you know? Like, my dad was, like, a great role model, but it was, like, I needed, like, whenever I wasn't with him, I needed other representation. Like, whenever I wasn't with my mom and dad, I needed to see other positive representation,
right,
in the world. And every time I went shopping, every time I went everywhere, I always saw the same figure, like a fair-skinned, like, ripped, chiseled dude.
It's Thor in every one of them.
Exactly, Thor, yes.
I am not Thor.
Yeah. Yeah. Same, you know, and it's like, you know, growing up with that, you know, over, you know, like, you know, just over consumption of like, this is what male beauty is.
Right.
Growing up in that, you're just like, well, I'm dark skinned. I'm like, you know, I'm like short. I'm kind of chunky. Like, I don't feel this imagery of male beauty.
Feels unattainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was like, I need to be that for a kid, you know? So, like, one day a kid can look at me and be like, oh, well, I can be, like, I can do this, too, because, you know, look at this guy. You know, he looks like my uncle. He looks like one of my old, like, band directors. You know what I mean? Right, like, he looks like an average guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of it. It was like, you have brands have, all these brands and companies have so many people. They're regular people buying your stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you want some guy that looks like...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never understood the, like, the cologne and perfume ads.
Oh,
they're just, I mean, those are just so, like...
They're so
like,
cheesy.
What did I just watch?
They're so terrible.
But it's the people in them don't look... They look like elves from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who are... Where did you find these people? Like...
It's so true, though.
They I don't really know do. Anybody that looks like Jennifer Aniston that's not in Hollywood.
That's
like,
true.
It just, it's weird.
Yeah, it's true. You know?
But
it
really I'm with you.
Yeah. And, like, those commercials are always very dark, too. It's like, where's the lighting at?
Yeah.
It's, like, always, you know what I mean? And they're always, like, riding, like, a horse or something. It was like, it's like, what? It's like, what? It's like, what?
The reality is, like, you see something that looks cool.
Yeah.
And then you go and get your copy of it, your version of it, and you put it on, you're like... I don't look anything like that.
Yeah.
This looks completely different on me. This
yeah.
This is crap.
Yeah.
You know?
This is not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no representation for...
Exactly.
People that are normal.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So how did you get where you are now? I mean, you're teaching school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what? And you're getting jobs.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
So it was like one of those things where I was like, it got to a point I was like, I need... you know, an agency. I need something, right? And, you know, there was this modeling agency that, you know, I was, you know, in the talks of signing with.
Okay.
And I went to Miami to meet with the director and stuff. And, you know, they, you know, told me to take off my shirt. They were taking pictures of stuff. And I turned around. And the lady said, oh, wow, you have, like, a lot of stretch marks on your back. I was like, yeah, like. Who cares,
yeah.
Right? And she's like, yeah, that's not, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't think that's going to work out for
damn.
Us. So it was like another, like, hit, right? I was like, damn. Like, okay, so I'm just not. So I basically have, like, society and the world telling me, you're this guy for the, in for, like, the, in the inclusivity and, like, to push this, you know, yeah. narrative of, like, all men are, you know, should be, represented, but then I have the fashion industry telling me, nah, we're not ready.
We're not going to do this.
Yeah, like, we're not ready yet, right? So, you know, things go like by, and I got my book offer in 2016, and the lady, she reached out to me, and I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, there's no way this lady wants me to, like, write a book. Does she even know who I am? You know what I mean? Of course she does, right? So I, like, emailed her back after she was very persistent, and I met up with her. And we
for
had,
real?
Like,
for real? For real?
Yeah. I was like, do you sure you want me to do this? Like, and she was like, you know, basically we have a lot of etiquette books that have been written, but they're all written by a lot of older white guys, and they give etiquette advice like, you should use this fork for this, and you should dress this way for this.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, we need an etiquette book that gives modern day advice for the average normal millennial man. And she's like, we think that you could be that guy to give that. I said, okay. And so I signed the deal, and I'm writing this book. And as I'm writing it, you know, this is, like, at the time where, like, my blog and Instagram were, like, you know, getting a lot of, I got a lot of traction.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, promoting the fact that I'm, like, coming out with the book, and everybody's, like, excited about it. And, you know, I'm using my students as case studies as well, because I'm using,
wow,
like, different situations that, you know, that I could use, that I'm, like, teaching these kids. I'm putting it, like, in this book. The same, like, things that my dad taught me and my uncles taught me, I'm, like, you know, putting it in this book, and I'm also implementing it in my classroom. So it was, like, a full circle,
wow,
kind of thing. So when I finished writing the book, it took me about 9 months to write. And the release date was October 2017. And prior to my book coming out, whenever that school year started in August,
okay,
I got an email from this lady named Charlotte. And Charlotte is the director of the modeling agency that I'm signed with now. And it's called Bridge Models. She reached out to me and was like, hey, I have this agency in London called Bridge Models. And the reason why we call it Bridge is because we bridge the gap in between straight size models and plus size models. We want everybody to be represented. I'm like, okay, cool, da da da. I'm like, sounds like a scam. So I, like, Google this lady. You know what I mean?
Because I love, like, the skepticism you've approached your entire career with.
Seriously,
like, we want you to write a book. You're fake.
Yeah.
we want to represent you. This sounds like a scam.
Yeah, right. Jeez, I, like, man, have, like, so much imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, there's no way somebody wants me this, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I, like, go to my principal. I'm like, hey, I need, like, a couple days off. Like, this lady wants to fly me to London.
You gotta
she
go
wants
to London,
meet
bro.
With me. And he, like, knew what I was trying to do.
Right.
So he was like, oh, yeah, do it, Mr. Davis. Like, this could be your moment, da da da. I said, okay, cool. So I emailed her back. She, like, sent me the flight stuff. And then I flew out that next day.
Wow.
I met with her in London. She took me out to, like, lunch. She showed me the offices, all this stuff. And it was, like, one of those things where she was like, so this agency right now is only dedicated to women, but I want to open up a men's board. And I want you to be one of the first men that I sign.
That's cool.
So we can get things started. And she's like, you know, basically telling me, I see so much in you. She was like, I don't care how tall you are. I don't care, da da da, right, this and that. I see, when I look at your imagery, like, your images, I feel happiness. I feel like somebody that I can relate to.
Right.
And that feeling is what the fashion industry needs. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah. Oh, sorry. Am I allowed to curse?
I've already done it
twice. Okay, cool.
You're good. I was You said that, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't
have. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, man, this is like.
Well, you're right.
This is awesome.
I'm looking at your feed on Instagram. It is. I mean.
Thank you.
Yeah, it feels very positive, very happy. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is what you want. It's great.
Yeah. So, like.
Yeah, you kind of have to be a jerk to find something negative in this.
I know, right? Can you believe I have haters?
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
Because I got to. We'll take names. We'll take care of it. Yeah. Well, real quick, your book is named the same thing as your blog, Notoriously Dapper.
Yeah.
How to Be a Modern Gentleman with Manners, Style, and Body Confidence.
Yes, sir.
So you. That is. Am I wrong? I mean, did you target that for millennial generation?
Yeah.
It's
for like, really, it was marketed towards men ages like really 18 to like 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some late stage Xers in there too, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it really starts from when I was like eighth grade. The book starts about eighth grade. Cool. And it goes all the way to when I had my first kid.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. And the book first and then the representation.
Yes.
Second. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So like.
So they started the representation with men.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she gave me the contract and I flew back to South Carolina and I'm like, get one of my lawyer friends to look over it. He's like, dude, this is a good contract. Like you should do it. Cause you know, I read this stuff and I'm like, I don't know what all these percentages mean. Like, I don't want to sign my life away.
Right.
You know,
what am I doing here?
Yeah. And he's like, no, dude, it's great. Like, you should do it. So I sign it. I, like, email it back to her. And, you know, literally a week later, she sends me an email. She's like, you know, welcome to Bridge, da-da-da. Like, we're so excited to have you. We have a client that's interested in booking you for a shoot. They're, like, Target. She, like, attaches the website as if, Target. Like, I don't know what it is. Because she's from London. Like, she has no idea what Target is.
Yeah, she, yeah.
Like, she's
like,
no
live
idea.
In South Carolina. You don't know shit.
Yeah. Like, she, like, sends me, like, the link to him. Like,
I know who Target is.
They're like, do you not know what Target is? I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, and she's like, they want to offer you this much for this shoot, da da da. Like, are you okay to do it? They'll fly you out to New York, da da da. Put you in a whole hotel. I'm like, Wait. I'm like, you have to understand, she's telling a teacher that doesn't even make $35,000 a year.
Right.
That, like, they're going to get paid X amount of dollars. They're going to fly to New York. They're going to be, like, treated like this special entity.
Yeah. Forgive me if I'm skeptical.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, yeah, I'm down to do it. Like, I love Target. She's like, okay, this must be like a popular brand over in the States. I said, yes, it's like gigantic. It's like very big.
Like,
yeah.
I'm good to go.
Yeah. So I like went, I went there. I did the shoot and like the rest is history, man. Like,
okay. Like
when that came out, it was like Target's like first, like non-traditional.
Really?
They like call me like plus size, but I'm not plus size. But like the industry doesn't have any other term for a man that's not over a size.
Sure.
That's like not a size 32.
Right.
It's like, I'm just a regular dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know anybody that wears a size 30 or 32.
That's why it's always sold out in the
store. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, everybody that I know wears a 36 and above.
I know.
I don't know anybody that wears like a 32 or 30.
My kids.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And they're like 14.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, and that, like, really just was, like, boom. Like, Target's being, because Target was always being that way for women, but they weren't that way for men.
Okay.
So, when they were doing that for men, they were like, boom, here's the guy.
Cool. You were, like, right on the crest of that wave.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah. And then my book came out in October, so it was, like, serendipitous that, like, this came out and my book came out around the same time. So, it was, like, boom, I got to hit it hard, you know what I mean? So I just started, like, you know, promoting my book and this and that. And then my book got nominated for NAACP Image Award, and I lost to Oprah, but it's okay. You know, I don't have any hatred, but Oprah definitely has enough awards.
Yeah, really?
She doesn't need any more. And if she's listening or anybody ever listening to this, ask her to just consider, you know, just handing me the award.
Yeah. for pass it down.
Yeah, just pass it down. Like, you don't need it, right? You know? Yeah, but, you know, that was really cool, too. Like, going to Pasadena and taking my, like, mom and, you know, living that experience. I met Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was, like, really cool. I met Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's
from... Well, he's a local Anderson boy.
Yeah, and he's from Anderson. And I'm from here. And we had, like, a really cool exchange about Clemson and Carolina.
That's cool, yeah.
It was really cool, yeah.
I guess he's a Clemson guy.
Yeah.
From being from Anderson. I think it just, you have to.
Yeah. But it was, like, very surreal being in this room of people, because it's almost like... You can't be a fan because you're all nominated for different, like, you're all nominated, right?
We're working. I'm working here.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, for me, I'm like, I'm just nominated for, like, a book, but he's nominated for, like, top actor or whatever. Yeah. So I'm, like, fan, but it's like, I have to remember, I can't be a fan. You have to act like an equal around these.
I gotta beat you. I gotta win.
I know, right? So it's like, we have to act like equals, right? So it was, like, really cool, like, just getting to know them and, like, pick their brain and just talk to different kind of people. And, you know, and that helped me a lot, too, because when I got back, and you have to understand, like, when I was doing this, I was still teaching. So the year from 2017 to 18 was my last year teaching. So during this whole year, all this was happening, all this traveling, all this stuff. So I would literally go to New York. So there's a flight that leaves from Columbia during the weekday. The flight goes to New York at 6 in the morning, and you land there at 8. And I would do the shoot from Target. I would get to the studio around, like, 9. And I would shoot from, like, 9 to, like, 6. And then that same flight leaves from LaGuardia at, like, 11. It leaves at, like, 10. And it gets to Columbia around, like, 11:30. So I would literally take a day trip to do, like, these shoots for Target, calls,
yeah, that's not sustainable.
All these things. And then I would come back to teaching. So it was, like, I was living, like, a double life.
That's,
like,
crazy.
Back and forth. And there was a point where my principal was like, you know, do you want to continue to teach? And this and that. I'm like, nah, I'm going to call it. Like, this is it. So around, like, February really was when I signed my letter. I was like, I'm not coming back.
Right.
And that was, like, the notion that the whole school then knew. It was like, oh, this motherfucker really made it. Like, this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, this this son of a bitch.
Did you kind of spike the ball in the teacher's lounge?
I wanted to so bad because there were so many. And this one lady who was an English teacher, she was very adamant about, like, you have a good job, you have insurance, like, you don't need to quit your job, da 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 da. And she got a Target catalog in the mail.
You sign that?
And she literally, I was, like, on the cover of it, and there was, like, three images of me, like, inside of it. And she brings it to school, and she's like, Mr. Davis, look what came in my mail. I'm like, what? She, like, shows me. She's like, would you mind signing this for me? I'm like, you are the same fucking lady that told me to not, like, quit, my day job, to do this and that. Like, you're going to regret it. And now you want me to sign this, like, you know, catalog for you? And I did it, you know. But I'm just like, you know, don't tell people that they can't do things because you're incapable of seeing the vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I find that kind of thing is like a, it's also another, we talked about the defense mechanism men put up.
Yes.
I think it's a defense mechanism for some people.
Ah, for sure.
I really do.
I never thought about it.
Well, we'll see it
in that way, but that's true. Yeah.
Well, we do a lot of coaching in the gym and stuff, and you'll find people will like, all right, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to reduce my calories. I'm going to eat healthy food. And then people at home are like, what, you too good to eat the dinner I made? No. You know, it's like, well, why aren't you eating what I'm eating? Why aren't you meeting me where you ever tried to, I don't know if you had any vices, you ever tried to quit smoking or anything like that? Or you have friends who have?
I've tried to stop drinking.
Well, you ever?
Like so much, you know what I mean?
Well, sure. But you ever notice, like, I don't know, it's a thing you'll find, like, you're trying to quit something and then the people around you that still do the thing, they're like, nah, man.
For sure.
Come on, you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, dude, I'm trying to quit. And they're like, you're not really going to quit.
Yeah. It's like when you go out drinking with your buddies, like, just have one beer. Like, bro, I'm not trying to have any drinks.
Tonight.
Yeah, I'm not drinking
tonight. Oh, you're drinking tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Order shots. I'm like, no, bro, I don't want it. Stop. I don't want a Jaeger. Back it up.
But it's, I think it's a pull that people, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right? You're doing it in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They're just doing it on a negative way.
I think. No, that makes 100% sense.
At least it makes me not hate them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not on purpose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So she's able to like see through that and be like, wow, you're awesome.
You know?
So yeah, you gotta have that positive outlook on it.
Yeah.
So you didn't win.
I didn't win. And, you know, as bummed as I was about it, I was like, I have to think about, I am this, you know, normal guy from South Carolina that teaches kids that had the opportunity to go to a place where people I've idolized for years are in the same building and are standing next to me.
So cool.
We're talking about like similar things. Like these are just, and when you talk to them, you realize how normal they are.
Yeah.
And how much normal stuff they do.
Right.
And how much like the same stuff that you like, they like too. Like they're not like these like people that live very extravagant lifestyles as some people may think. They really like living, especially people like Chadwick or Morgan Freeman, like people that are from places that are similar to where I came from, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They still have that inside of them, you know what I mean? Like, they're not captivated by Hollywood.
That's cool.
And how, like, Hollywood, and that's one of the things that I get a lot, too. Like, people are always like, why won't you move to L.A.? Why won't you move to... And I've thought about it, but it's like, there was a week I spent in L.A.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can never live here. Mm. You know what I mean? I was like, I would easily be captivated and become something that my mother, father, and grandmother, like, raised me not to be.
Wow.
I would easily be that. Because it's like, once you're in the element, if you're, like, this high-profile model that I am, and you live in a high-profile area,
yeah,
you become that. But it's like, if you have this entity, this high-profile internet, supermodel thing, but you live in a humble place... You know, and there's nothing more humbling than like two kids.
Than your family?
Yeah. Than like, than an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old.
You can never impress your family.
Like, you're in shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing more humbling than whatever.
What a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you aren't going to impress your family.
Yeah. But
we try so damn hard.
Exactly, yeah.
And they still, you know, they call you whatever nickname you were called when you were five.
Yeah.
Like, stop that.
Yeah. Right?
Damn.
It's like, damn. You know what I mean? So it was like... You know,
I've done all this shit. You're still Bubba.
Yeah. Like, you're still Bubba. You're
still Bubba. Yeah, whatever they call it. They called me Bubba when I was little.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. They still do it. And I'm like, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So it's like, I mean, and I take it with a grain of salt because you know, as much as I gave thought to, like, you know, I should maybe move here because maybe if I move here, there might be more opportunities with this and that stuff. But I'm like, the opportunities that I'm getting are – and I felt this way because when I was talking to a guy in L.A. and I was telling him – he was actually my Uber driver. And I was telling him, like, what I do. And I was like, yeah, I just did, like, this huge Gap ad and da-da-da. And, you know, he had been living in L.A. his whole life. Mm. And I've been trying to become like this model, like commercial actor person his whole life. But then here comes this guy from South Carolina.
He's like, get out of my car.
Who's like made it. Yeah. And that when it's dawned on me, he basically was like, you know, it's crazy because it's like the older I get. And he told me that he's like, the older I get, the more I realize that I didn't have to stay here to be what I wanted to be. I could have moved to Atlanta. I could have moved somewhere down south where it was cheaper and really fulfilled this prophecy that I wanted to
do. Not have to drive Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I told him, I said, dude, honestly, it's not too late because he was 30, 32 at the time. And I had just turned 30. And I was like, dude, I just turned 30 and I just got signed to like a modeling agency. Like, I'm 30 years old, and this is my first time. Like, people, like, this does not happen. Like, people don't sign 30-year-old male models to a modeling agency and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, bet on them, you know? Yeah. Like, you have to have something special about you for that to happen.
Right.
You know? So it was, like, one of those things where I was like, okay, you know, there were so many people that I taught with, and I understand, like, the teaching profession, it's very frustrating, right? And you feel like you're stuck every now and then, and there are so many teachers that, you know, feel like, because education is one of those things where, like, once you stop, it's hard for you to get a job outside of education.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like any other profession, it's easier for you to transfer jobs.
Sure.
In a way.
Right.
But when you're an educator, it's really hard for you to go from being an educator to being, like, you know, working for, like, I don't know, some, like, tech company or, like, whatever, working for a bank or
specific
anything.
Mindset, too.
Yeah. You know, so I feel like a lot of them felt like they were stuck. And, you know, I've had that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I noticed there were some people that I was very close with that were very happy for me. But a lot of the older, you know, teachers felt like had like a little bit of like, not hatred, but like a little bit like resentment. a little bit of like
jealousy.
This fucker. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now, like, you know, I go back to schools and I talk to some of the kids, and I've been back to the old middle school that I taught at to speak, and a lot of the teachers that were there are no longer there.
Right.
So it's like a lot of the teachers that are there now, they're like, wait, you used to teach here? I'm like, yeah. And, like, you know, they're, like, very inspired by my story.
Right.
A lot of them are like, well, I've always had this dream about opening up this coffee shop. And I tell people, like, my biggest toxic trait is telling people that they can, like, just quit whatever the fuck they're doing and just go after your dream.
Yeah.
Like, I am not that guy to tell you, like, take it slow. Like, you never know. Save your money.
Right.
I'm like, no. Bet it all on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, take it all out. Let's go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, like, my biggest toxic trait that a lot of people say I have. They're like, dude, that's like, you might ruin someone's life. I'm like, no, I'm not. Because if you believe in yourself.
Sure.
If you believe in your process and if you know what you're capable of, you'll make that shit happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just, like, helping you see what you're capable of.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun being that inspiring voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's one type of hater.
Yeah.
You mentioned haters on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, man.
What do you got to deal with?
I mean, mostly like, and you know, I go to the gym, you know what I'm saying? Like, I work out, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
you've got pictures of you working.
Yeah, you know? So people have this misconception that because I'm this body positive influencer or because I tell people that it's okay for you to look a certain way as long as you're confident that I'm promoting obesity and I'm promoting, like, unhealthy lifestyle.
Sure.
And it's crazy because I'm like, I'm not promoting an unhealthy lifestyle. When have you ever seen me eat a whole bunch of, like, fried food and say, you need to eat this every day.
Yeah, there are pictures
it's
of you
good
eating
for
pizza.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're working out.
Yeah.
Like, you're riding bikes and running. I've seen the pictures.
You know? So I'm like, I promote a healthy lifestyle because my biggest thing about being body positive is not only being positive that your body's good enough, but you also have to have a positive mentality about your body. Why would you treat your body like shit and put shit in it and not do positive things for it,
right?
But then feel good about it. You can't feel good about your body unless you do good things for it.
Yeah.
Everybody should exercise. I don't care how big or small you are. Everybody should get up and move throughout the day. I'm not saying like you need to lift weights and run in marathons, but you need to get up and walk.
Yeah.
Why would you sit down all,
I know,
all day, right? So it's like I have these like haters, and I call them like the gym bro haters because they're always like,
oh, I see.
Dude, like you need to, like you're promoting obesity. Like all these guys have the misconception, like they need to da da da, you know? And it's like, bro, I am not telling any guy in the world ever that like doing A, B, and C is like the way to go. I'm telling you how I live and what works for me, but I'm also telling you that if you feel insecure because your body looks a certain way because of what people think you should look like or how you think you should look like, that's not being body positive. You need, like, if you want to make a change for your body, make it because you want it. You don't need to make it because you see a picture of Zac Efron on the cover of Men's Health, and you're like, I want to look like Zac Efron. Why the fuck do you want to look? Why do you want to look like Zac Efron?
Well, I mean, he's also, I think this week, maybe last week, he's come out.
He had like plastic surgery or something.
He's done. I mean, I don't want to say the word steroids because it's way deeper than that.
Yeah,
but he's used enhancing supplements.
Exactly. You know,
substances to make himself look like that. I mean, it ain't real.
It's not real. Yes. So I tell guys, like, I tell anybody,
like, it's not real.
It's not real. And you need to real, and you need to live what's real. You need to live what's best for you, and don't try to live up to other expectations of what other people think is beautiful. That's what being body positive is, you know? And then sometimes I clap back, and sometimes I'm like, man, fuck this dude. Like, I don't even care.
What?
You know what I mean? Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't thinking that at all. Yeah. You hear a lot of that discussion. I mean, and I think you're getting lumped in with the whole industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you're like, dude, I'm literally not the whole industry here.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's not how it works.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are, you know, Victoria's Secret models that are obese.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on that?
It's like, for me, it's like, there's people that have a certain, you know, stature in their body, right? And it's like, if you are, because I've known, like, bigger women in my family that have no health issues.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like completely fine, right?
Yep.
And then I'll have a person in my family that works out every day and they like have like, you know, problems, you know what I mean? So it's like, for me, it's like, I don't really care much how you look. I care more about how you feel, how you make other people feel. So it's like, for me, if you are, you know, overweight and, you know, you like do things that are positive for your body, and like you actually, you know, are encouraging other people to do the same, you know, I feel like people get this misconception of like, if like a bigger person, you know, is confident in themselves, that they are telling people that it's okay and confident to be fat. I think they're just saying that like, it's okay for them to be this way and they're confident in the way that they look. But if something health related were to arise, they would change their body.
Right.
They would start to do things like, just like me. Like, I started exercising and doing and eating differently whenever I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Right. I don't really eat as much fried food as I used to.
Right.
You know, I used to like have like, you know, fried chicken maybe like once a week, and now maybe have it like once a month.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I have to watch what I put into my body.
Yeah, it's a longevity concern now.
It is, like, yeah.
I don't want to die when I'm 50.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and like, I want to see my kids get married. I want to be a granddad, you know? Like, I want to do all of these things.
Do you think that people mix aesthetics and health together?
For sure. Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I know from experience they're not the same thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of the world we live in, isn't it?
100%. Like, people will look at a guy that's, like, super jacked and ripped, right?
Think
like,
he's healthy.
Oh, he's in shape. He's healthy. But
meanwhile, he's taking every substance known to man to make himself look like that. That's not good, bro.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's had 3 or 4 open-heart surgeries.
Exactly, yeah.
Because of that same thing.
Yeah. And, like, you know, our R.I.P. the Macho Man Randy Savage, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, he had a heart attack, and if you saw him walking down the street, but oh, that guy's super fit, super strong, like there's no way, you know. So it's like, people definitely have this because it's like, the world is very visual, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, when we see a guy in a suit driving a Mercedes, what do we automatically think? This guy's educated, he has a lot of money, he's making money, you know, he's a good guy, But who's to say that this guy, like, may not have any money.
Yeah.
He may actually just be, like, you know, a driver for somebody else.
He had enough to buy that suit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Seriously, right?
Well, hey, yeah.
Yeah, you know? And, like, you know, you have this expectation of people. Like, when people see somebody that, you know, has, like, dirty hands and they're, like, in a pickup truck. Like, what do they think? Oh, he's, like, a working class man.
It's a hard
This worker. Guy should be, like, a millionaire. Like, you have no idea what this man is. You have no idea. So, like, the aesthetics of what, like, life is, like, people look at something and they think this, and they look at something and they think that, but it's completely two different worlds. It can be completely opposite.
Can be.
Yeah.
So that's another side of it, is the dressing for success sort of approach, right? It's not just the you know, naked physical appearance.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
It's also the way you dress. I mean, that seems to be where you kind of got going.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you, I don't know, coach people or whatever. I mean,
that's
got to be a big part of it, about feeling better about who you are is looking better.
Yeah. Well, my 11-year-old, she's a girl, obviously, and I have 2 daughters, 11 and 7. But my 11-year-old, you know, she's at that preteen stage, and we went back to school shopping, man, And she wanted these jeans with like holes in the upper thigh and a crop top. And I literally looked at her in her face and I said, what do you think I am? Like, what ever in God's green earth would you think that I would ever purchase this and allow you to wear this in my presence? It's never happened. Like, what are you on?
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, even
you're not thinking.
No, it's like, and even teaching my daughters, like, you know, if you dress a certain way, people are going to look at you a certain way. Right. If you're 11 years old wearing a crop top, this and that, and you're dressed like you're like a sophomore in college, like you should not, I should not look at you and be able to like try to figure out if you're in high school or college or middle school.
Right.
That's not the way this works.
Yeah.
I need to look at you and know that you're in middle school, you are my daughter, and that's not, like, you're not wearing that.
Spoken like a dad.
Yeah.
It's okay,
right?
Though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not happening, right? So it's like, I like live that a lot in my life now. I mean, the 7-year-old, I don't really have to worry about. She's still like a, you know, she's still very much like a baby kid, you know. She still loves to play with dolls, you know. But my oldest is like into makeup. She's into all these different things. And runs social media. She has a cell phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like all the things that I'm like, God damn it. Like,
How do we get here?
Yeah. So it's like me like coaching her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm doing the same thing that I do online, but, and it's crazy because it's like everything I do in my social media life, I implement in my real life. Or what I do in my real life, I implement in my social media life. So
it's cool.
People often, sometimes they live like two separate lives on their social media and in their real life. Mine are like intertwined because there's nothing fake about it.
Yeah.
I'm a dad. Like, this is real life. Like, I have diabetes. I like suffer from, you know, like, you know, anxiety every now and then. Like, I'm very real about all my struggles and all my, like, you know, highest points of life,
right?
Because there's a balance. Like,
absolutely.
People always are like, you know, like, people always on Instagram always post their like most best moments. I post both, you know, and you know, it's, I think it's very important for people to understand that everybody is human. It does not matter how much money you make or how successful you are or how successful you think you are. At the end of the day, you're still human.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that about me. And I think that's why I've been able to have so much. I get a lot of local love now because it's like a lot of people didn't realize I still lived here.
And like, he didn't leave.
Yeah. So like now they're like, when they see me at like Soda City Farmers Market, they see me pick up my like daughters from school. People like, you know, recognize me and they like love to see me.
That's cool.
And they're like, wait, aren't you that like aren't you that model guy for Target? Like, yeah. You know, and there's so many people that I meet. And, you know, outside of South Carolina, and they'll be like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. And I'll be like, I don't know. But it's like, they recognize my face.
Just tell them I work at Target.
Yeah, right? They recognize my face.
Right.
But then again, like, just like I said, like, the imposter syndrome, I still have a lot of trouble sometimes speaking to random strangers about what I do. Because it's like, I don't want to come off as that guy that's like, A, I'm bragging, or B, that I think I'm, like, this hot shit. It's because it's not that. It's a, I'm just, like, literally telling you, like, a fact of what I do. But some people take that as, like, a misconception of, like, oh, this guy's, like, thinks he's hot shit because he models for Target and Nike, and he has all these followers on Instagram. Like, I'm just, like, telling you what I do. Like, you ask me what I do for a living, so I'm just telling you. But there are some people that I still do tell them that I'm still a teacher. Like, when I travel, and like, there was a lady in LA that stopped me and was like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. I'm like, I've never met you before in my life. And she's like, no, I've seen you somewhere before. Are you like an actor or something? I'm like, no, I'm just a teacher in South Carolina. She was like, oh, I don't know you. But she probably did know me from like a Target commercial. Like, I don't know. You know? Yeah. Hmm. But it's like those moments where it's like, I get a little bit of anxiety there because I'm like, I don't want to go into, like, this conversation. Of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do I owe you money? What?
Yeah. Do I owe you money?
Are you the IRS?
I still owe that 4K in back taxes. I'm sorry. I still owe that 4K.
It's not a joke about that.
I know, right?
So what's next for you, man? I mean.
Yeah. So what's next is I'm really wanting to be. So I'm going to give it a little bit. Let's see. I'm going to do, like, maybe 3 or 4 more years of being in front of the camera. and being like the face of like, you know, this inclusivity and all these things.
Yeah.
But eventually I want to venture out and I want to be on the back end. I want to be on the creative side. I want to be like a creative director, and I want to, you know, really change the landscape of not only fashion, but the way the fashion industry operates. In a way, especially for especially for the men's side. So my ultimate dream goal is to be like a creative director of like a Gap or like a magazine or something, like something where I am in creative control of what, you know, everybody sees, and they see like in inclusiveness, they see like love, they see positivity, you know? So basically the same thing that I did with my blog and my brand, I want to bring to like an actual brand. And a lot of the people that I talked to in New York, they were like, a lot of these brands will not talk to people unless they build their own entity. Because it's like, if you can build your own entity from the ground up, then we know with all of the resources and money and people that we have, you'll be able to take us to like the highest heights, right?
Sure.
So around, so I'm 35 now. Around like when, really, I'm gonna give it like 5 years, because like when I'm 40, I feel like, you know, I still might do like some ads and some fashion stuff, but I really want to be like in the creative direction area.
I believe you'll do it.
Yeah,
I do.
Thank you.
Putting it out in the universe. That's strong. That's how it works, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So I don't know when this is going to come out versus the Growth Summit, which is in October.
Yes.
But you can catch him here.
Yeah.
The Growth Summit. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super excited about it. Greg is awesome. Like we had a really, really awesome chat.
Shit.
But you're awesome too, James.
No, he's all right. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave anybody that might be listening to this?
Any
thoughts or feelings or anything?
Yes. Whoever's listening to this, I want you to know that whatever dream you have or whatever vision, because to me, your imagination is simply a preview of the reality that you have to work hard to get, right? So it's like if there's something in your brain, there's something that you cannot, like, function without. And when I mean dreams, I mean you think about this thing every day when you're going to work, when you leave work, when you're driving, when you're with your family. You're thinking about, what if I were to do this? Mm. I really want to do this. Your calling, your dream, like something that you're passionate about, just fucking do it. Like, you have to do it, and you have to bet on yourself, and you have to understand that there's going to be a lot of people that do not believe in you. There's a lot of people that did not believe in me. There's a lot of people that didn't believe in anybody, right?
Right.
Because people can't see things that you tell them. Like, me telling somebody as a 28-year-old dude, I'm going to be a model. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Kevin, like, you're 28. You're going to be 30 in like 2 years. You're not going to be a model. Stop. You're balding. Like, stop it. You know,
right.
But it's like, I want to tell the people, you have to go after your dreams. There's no other way for you to do it. And your like price of like having somebody else open up that coffee shop you wanted to, getting coffee at that coffee shop that you're supposed to have every morning while you go to the job, where you keep dreaming about the coffee shop, is going to be the worst pain that you can feel. Regret is like one of the worst things to feel, because it's like, that could have been you. You could have had that. You could have did it, but you didn't bet on yourself. You didn't believe in yourself. And this is the result of that. That person that believed in themselves and that bet on themselves is serving you the coffee, you know? So you gotta, like, you just have to go for it, you know? And as toxic as that might sound, like, people that have, because I have like a family, right? I have like I give up insurance, like state insurance, I give up all that stuff.
Yeah.
To do this. Right? And it's like,
right.
I did it. Right? Yeah, and it's like, it paid off.
Yeah.
And you are going to have times where, you know, you are going to doubt yourself, and you're going to be like, damn, like, I wish, you know, things were going a little bit differently. But that's a part of the process. Like, you have to be processed in order to, like, enjoy the end of it. Like, you have to go through it. Like, you can't just do it and it just happened. Like, you have to go through the struggle. The process is everything. So I tell everybody to enjoy the process of becoming successful. Because the biggest, like, to me, I think about a lot of the negative times I had and how it shaped me to get ready for those, like, times where I had to be on set with Gap.
Yeah.
And it was like an four-day, eight-hour set for 4 days, and you have to be in the zone, right? Like, all those moments led me into, like, being focused on this one moment, you know? Like, just like, you know, is it Eminem's? Like, you only get one shot, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's right. Literally how it is, right?
Wow.
So whoever's listening, go after your dreams. Don't listen to what anybody says, you know what I mean? And I wish you all the best of luck.
Man.
Yeah.
You're a positive dude, man.
Thank you. I try.
You got me feeling good, man.
Oh, good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here today.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
You got me juiced up.
All right. I'm excited, man. All right, brother.